Welcome back. As we consider the ongoing story of spiritual warfare, and we're in a section in this class on knowing your enemy. And last time, just as a kind of recap, we saw that he is the adversary. In other words, he's the one who's setting himself up. He's choosing to be opposed to you as a follower of Jesus Christ and to God and his kingdom. And today we're going to look at another powerful word, name, that is given him that helps us identify where he is and what he's doing and helps us identify his strategy. And so that eventually we can be aware when we see him at work in our own life, but we can hopefully see him aware at work in the world as well. So be prepared. You know, I chose to do this name next because it is one of the most scary names that exist that allow us insight into his character. The name is the Evil One. The Evil One. I found this graphic just trying to rightfully awaken horror in us. The Evil One. The name implies that he is the apex, or he is the culmination of evil. He is everything that evil encompasses is in Satan, is in the Evil One. Now, as I was thinking about this and preparing this lecture, it struck me that that's not the way we often picture him. Now, C.S. Lewis, in his great book, The Screwtape Letters, which I'll make more reference to later, but I'll begin it now. Screwtape Letters is an imagined conversation between a supervisory devil and a tempter who's assigned to a particular man and trying to keep him from faith and trying to keep him from believing. And one of the things he says is, you know, just have him imagine, you know, the Lord, Satan referred to as the Lord, the Evil One. Imagine him as just a comical character in red tights. Well, I was just trying to think of, in my experience, where that's happened. That there are those places where he's just pictured as kind of a funny character, comical character. I think of this program, Bewitched, 1964 to 1972. That was during my childhood. But it's still on reruns. It's still on reruns all over the place. And it's a story of this woman, young woman, who's a witch. And this man who's a normal marries her and doesn't know she's a witch until later. And Samantha's mother shows up. And it's just all kind of good fun, right? The fact that she's able, and when the little girl comes along, Tabitha, she turns out she's got magical powers too. And this idea of magic, of doing things that are supernatural, are just given as kind of a comical thing. It's funny. Another TV program from 1998 to 2006, Charmed, where these women, you know, they do some fighting of evil, but, you know, they're witches, they're fighting warlocks, they're doing these things, but it's all kind of, it's innocuous. It's not really all that important. Sabrina, the Teenage Witch, couldn't find a picture of that one, 1906 to 2003. And again, it's kind of just this comical thing. And so, you know, it's a comedy. It's a sitcom, a situation comedy. That's the way it's pictured. And I sometimes, you know, picture Satan behind that saying, don't look, you know, don't look. More up to date would be this one, Harry Potter series. No, I love that series. I read all the books, read them with my grandkids. It's a wonderful fantasy trip. But it takes this power thing and makes it good. That there's good and there's bad, and it's all about, you know, who are you? Are you a magician? Are you somebody who's been trained? And the battle goes on. And the idea is, this isn't really all that scary until the last one, where there's that ultimate battle against evil. But it's good and evil, and in fact, throughout the program, throughout the movies, you'll find that theme. And there's even a theme for Harry Potter of death and resurrection in the last book, in the last film. But it's not pictured as horror. It's not pictured as the Evil One. Somewhat, you know. But the culmination of evil. The culmination of evil. Evil intent, twisting the creation, thwarting the kingdom of God and its building. All of that's involved in this name. So let's look at some of the places where this is used in Scripture. 1 John 5, we know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. The evil one. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and the eternal life. The whole world is under the control of the evil one. Now, we also know that Jesus invaded this evil world. That's how the battle got started. There is a construct in theology that says that time is set up into two different times, right? There's the creation and there's good, but then there's the fall into sin. And with the fall into sin, there is this time of battle in the world until Jesus comes and Jesus invades this. And it says, here's the already, and there's the not yet of the kingdom. When Jesus comes in the world, the kingdom is here, and the battle is engaged in a very personal way with the evil one. But it's not fully complete until Jesus comes again and introduces the kingdom, the time to come. So it's already, the kingdom of God is here, and the battle is enjoined, but it's not yet when it's going to be fully realized. So now we are in that time of, it's here already, but the kingdom has not fully come. And so there is that presence and power of the evil one in the world. Now where do you look for that? Where do you try to comprehend that? Where do you experience it in this world? Something that's helped me just recently is this man, David Platt. He's a pastor, he's a lecturer, he's a missionary. And I read his book just recently, said, Something's Got to Change. And it's the account of a hike that he took in the Himalayan mountains. He met an interesting guy at a conference, and this man invited him, since he was doing ministry in the Himalayan mountains, to go on a week-long hike. And so they did this, and it was cold, it's as snowy in Himalayas. But during that time, Platt recounts, he kept a journal. And he kept a journal of how many things he experienced that were powerfully evil. One was just the fact that people didn't know the name Jesus. As he met people and would have tea with them in their house, and he asked them about Jesus Christ and said, We don't know that person. But the evil began to intensify. He talks about seeing at a river people burning someone who died, because the idea was as he burned, he would be delivered into the next phase of living. And he said he realized how blinded these people are. But the real evil, he said, came when they entered a village and there was hardly any young people there, kids. There were hardly any kids in the whole place. And he asked why. And he was told that the young girls in particular were taken by slave traders. Now, that wasn't obvious that they came in with an army and they took all these little kids. But he says that they come and they offer their parents $100. He said that's half a year's wages. And the parents are eager because if they've got, they have birth control, and if they have more than one kid, they have trouble feeding their children. And so the slave traders are coming, we'll give you $100, and we're going to take your daughter, your young girl in particular, but young boys too, we're going to take them down to the big cities. And there we'll put them to work in houses, cleaning houses of rich people, and they'll be able to start sending money back to you to support them. And so the parents are duped. And they let their child go, and they never hear from them again, and the children are gone into slavery. Here's just a, read you just a brief article that I found online about sex slavery, sex trafficking in Nepal. Sex trafficking is when someone uses coercion, force, or fraud to cause a commercial sex act with an adult or causes a minor to commit a commercial sex act. A commercial sex act includes prostitution, pornography, or sexual performance done in exchange for an item of value such as money, shelter, food, drugs, or clothes. Sex trafficking is particularly rampant within Nepal and in India and in that section between, with as many as 5,000 to 10,000 women and girls trafficked to India alone each year. Those who have been trafficked for sex work are more likely to be older, illiterate, and have fewer family members with earning power. Some reasons for being trafficked for sex work may include poverty and being old enough. Younger female children, on the other hand, tend to be exploited for non-sex work, including domestic and manual labor and circus work. There are an estimated 150,000 to 200,000 Nepali women and girls who are trafficked to India brothels each year. Girls are sold to brothels at price ranging from 50,000 to 70,000 Indian rupees. The younger the girl, the higher the price she'll be sold for. Once sold, the girls are property of brothel owner until they can pay back the amount that was paid for them. Girls trafficked for sex work may be provided with a small portion of food and sometimes a small sum of money. However, brothel owners may take up to 90% to 95% of the girls' earnings. One study reported that girls were forced to serve an average of 14 clients per day, with a minimum of 3 and a maximum of 40 men. Now, I just looked up a picture of children and sex slavery in Nepal and India, and this is one of the pictures that came up. These young children, as young as 8 years old. This is one of the things David Platt reports on, seeing children sitting in front of a brothel. And they're made kind of like a restaurant with various booths that are built in, and you can go in and you can have sex and you can have a meal. And that's the life of these kids. The whole world is under control of the evil one. This is evil. Now, David Platt titled his book, Something's Got to Change. When I started reading it, you know, I suspected some of the content because I heard him speak. But I was surprised when I got to the end, because I thought Something's Got to Change is, we've got to change some things in those mountains. We've got to change something in those families. We've got to change the poverty that drives this whole thing. We've got to change the greed and the lust of people who come, young men in particular, who come looking to pay for sex in these places. We've got to change that. And we got to the last chapter, and he says, I realize something's got to change in me. In me. And then he gave a great challenge at the end of the book, just asking us to please be aware. Please be engaged. What are you going to do as a result of this? Now, I know that, you know, another part of the evil is not just the sexual trafficking, but in a few weeks, my wife and I are going to visit a friend of ours, a young woman who is doing missions in Spain. And she reports that we're going to be doing a prayer walk with her through an area that's just covered. It's a whole group of greenhouses where they grow a lot of food that feed the people of Spain. And those who are trying to escape bad lives in Africa come there, and they're looking to enter Europe and start a new life, and instead they are forced into labor. In other words, they pay somebody to get them out, to get them across the Mediterranean, and to get them into Europe. And they can't leave, they can't be free until they pay back that amount through work. And there's all sorts of systems to keep them working there. Well, we're going to go into one of those areas and where there are brothels, and we're just going to walk through and pray against the evil one. One of the reasons we booked that trip is because I realized something's got to change in me. And something got to change as we battle the evil one. More where you see evil, the Holocaust. In Sudan, as I'm recording these sessions right now, there's a genocide that's going on that's being reported. It's a civil war, and part of it has turned to genocide, where one group of people decides to wipe out the other. Well, the ultimate example of that is during World War II, when the Nazis began to do away with not just Jewish people, but also people with epilepsy, people who have Down syndrome, anybody who could taint the blood of the people, the Aryan society, was killed. Just killed. Evil. When you see this sort of thing going on, you got to say, that's awful. That's evil. And now, how many places is this going on in our history? I think of Rwanda and, with the Tutsis and the Hutus fought, and it was a genocide, trying to kill them, trying to wipe them out. Who could conceive of such evil? Well, the evil one can do that. And he's working yet today. He's working in Sudan. He's working in various places where he's trying to cultivate evil. And that isn't just interest in the occult. It's just putting one person against another, creating chaos and hatred. Now, I live in the United States, and right now, that's what characterizes our political system. Our political system has become paralyzed because Democrats and Republicans will not work with each other, and as a result, people are hurting. The number of children that have fallen into poverty is huge. 21% of children fall into poverty because they can't enact legislation that would help them. There's evil in this world. I think of war. Right, it's a picture of Ukraine. While I'm doing these lectures, there's a battle going on. Russia invaded Ukraine, and the battle goes on. And as we read the news stories and see them on TV, there's evil going on. The kind of awful things that are being done to the enemy. And most of the news that we're getting is on the Russian side, where people are killed indiscriminately, where children are exploited, where missiles are targeted to, this past week, targeted at a cafe, and 52 people are killed, just sitting there eating a meal. This is evil. Wherever you see war going on, it's evil. And wow, you can look at a lot of places in our planet where evil is going on. Right now, as I'm recording these sessions, Hamas has attacked Israel, and Israel has responded, and there's evil going on as people are being kidnapped, people are being killed on both sides, and the evil one is at work. And then, of course, starving children. The numbers here are astounding. One person dies about every 6 seconds in this world. Count it out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Millions are starving. Millions are dying. And part of it is just, corrupt governments won't let the food in. There's evil. This is just a picture of one, but he or she represents thousands, hundreds of thousands of children who are going to die in this year. But many are going to die during the time you're listening to this lecture. And then, Haiti is a place that my wife and I have visited and done mission work. And right now, government is non-functional. People there before were in bad shape. They averaged one meal per day. And now it's worse because gangs won't let food get out of the airport or won't get out of the harbor. And so as a result, people are starving there, and people are in danger, and this is evil. So you can make a list: drug addiction, alcohol addiction, the pandemic, whatever. Wherever you see evil, know that behind it is the evil one. be aware. You're a watchman. You're aware now. Look for him and pray against him. We'll get to how to do that more later. Let's close in prayer. Lord, as we become aware of the evil one in a fresh way, we pray that you will give us insight, protect us, but give us courage to do the battle as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we'll see you next time.